All right, 10:46. Welcome back into the Gary Sharp Show. As we do every Monday, we kick off the week with our man, the myth, the legend, Matt Verzal. Verz, good Monday morning. Initial thoughts on the weekend of football in the NFL?
You know, that's a great question, Sharpie. To start it off, I'm really impressed with Tampa Bay's defense. Was probably my biggest takeaway. It was in the KC game, fuel for the fire that all offensive coordinators except Andy Reid hate speed option. Dirty Dan's name is not just because he hustles. Officiating is terrible. And what else?
Well, okay, let's start there.
I didn't do very good gambling, if that helps.
You know what? That 101-yard pick six did not help me on Saturday night. But I was.
Although I liked that one. I needed points.
No, I did not need that one. So let's talk about Daniel Sorensen and the play with Higgins at the pylon. I'll take it because of the team I root for. I hate the rule. But let's first talk about the play. That's great hustle by Sorensen to get to that point. And I don't know what other way to try and make a play right there at the pylon you could do other than leading with your, you know, the front of your body, which of course is leading with the helmet. I'm very surprised. I mean, I'm not surprised because it's the NFL, but that play should be reviewable. That was the helmet to helmet. But I don't know what else you do in that situation if you're the defender trying to stop somebody headed to the pylon in that angle.
It's a football play. And I more just say it to jab at the rule itself and Kansas City fans. Because that's what I do. To get to the point to be able to make that play, that's you are correct. Your only other option is to flail your hands at him and try to shove him out of bounds, but it's not going to happen. And it's a football play. He had to do what he had to do. There's things in that game where that statement resonates more than any other sport. I had to do what I had to do. And, you know, they didn't call it. It's not reviewable. It's unfortunate for the Browns, but it's the way it goes. Like it's football. You're not out there crocheting, you know. You're there to hit somebody hard and try to prevent them from scoring.
And in college football, you're ejected. I'm surprised that Higgins didn't have a concussion or Sorensen didn't have a concussion.
Buddy, you said it there. I mean, the fact that both of them got up. Now, it is one thing, and I've mentioned this probably ad nauseum. And people were probably tired of me hearing it, but even on the Mahomes hit, it's how you land. Like, I will forever be thankful that my mother, for whatever reason, probably just didn't want me in the house, put me in gymnastics because you learned how to fall correctly. And there's an art to it. You know, Mahomes, when he went down, they had him by the head. He probably couldn't tense his neck up, but you have to tense to a point or your head is going to whip like a bobblehead. Well, both of those guys were at full go, and there was tension in the neck, so you're a strong, young football player. So that helmet-to-helmet contact happened. Yes, your brain did rattle around there, but it isn't as bad as it could have been. Like, if you kind of are not fully tensed in that, you're gonna be mushy when you get up. You're gonna do the stanky leg like Mahomes did when he got up. But
yeah,
that is what it is.
That was scary. It looked like he got tapped in the right spot on the back of his head.
Yeah, and it's cold. That ground is hard. You hit the button in the back, and that's the linemen probably need to be better at assessing. Like, hey, let's just leave him there for a second. Tell him to stay down. Take a couple deep breaths, but no. And if you ever wondered how strong offensive linemen were, he took a 200-pound guy and picked him up with one arm. It was just like, nope, stay here, little man. You're good, bud. Just get your feet back, Bambi.
Yeah,
be good.
So I don't. I mean, it's labeled as a concussion. There's no set number of days in the NFL you're out. You have to go through the different protocol, and the Kansas City medical staff and then the independent medical staff to get you cleared. All they have to do, and again, I think he just got tapped in the back of the head on the right spot where you black out for just, you know, just a little bit, is just bring him back on the field. And if he can throw the ball into the third deck of Arrowhead, he's good to go on Sunday.
Correct.
That's my that's my concussion test with Mahomes.
This will be the fastest recovery from a concussion in the history of mankind.
Yeah. For people that are wondering, oh, man, how long are we going to have to wait? No, just you don't have to wait at all. Wait till 5:40 on Sunday, and the man will be out there. All right. Now, the other the other part of the Higgins-Soren.
Hey, real quick, though, somewhere old George Sullivan smiling, because when they got Mahomes to jog off the field, I'm guessing he cracked the old ammonia pill and gave him a little sniffer of that. I was like, all right, let's go.
Yeah, he did kind of like perk up a little bit as he was running to the locker room. Now, the other part of that Higgins-Sorensen play was, of course, the dive for the pylon, and the ball comes free into the end zone and then squirts out of bounds. First of all, your thoughts on, I know Bill Belichick preaches this, you don't reach for the pylon with the football. Were you okay with what Higgins did? Reaching.
You're trying to make a play. And you're trying to get your team a momentum-changing score. So I understand it, and I get it. I know the intent, and there's no way anybody in that instance is going to pull that ball back.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to pull that ball back and get that, and it just isn't going to happen. Like, you're just trying to make a play. And unfortunately for the Browns, it got knocked out of his hands on a hell of an effort by Sorensen. You're playing the game hard. That's what happened. It just, you're going to, nobody in that instance is going to say, oh man, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull the ball into my body and hope that I jump far enough to get there. You're going to extend that thing out.
So,
and then, you know, there's a bunch of people that want to change the rule. And it's, they should get it at the point of the fumble and blah, 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 blah. But,
well, no, let's talk about this because the NFL loves that play. You look at all the highlights you see of guys diving for the pylon, okay, to stick the ball out. So the NFL loves that play. It's on the highlights. But the rule really penalizes the offensive team. And it's been a rule for a while. We always talk about it's the dumbest rule in sports, but somehow it stays in the game. I don't know how. Maybe this is one that overturns it because as this one got a lot of attention. First of all, do you like the rule that if you fumbled there at the goal line and it goes out of the end zone, it's a touchback and you get penalized as the fumbler and the defensive team, which did not recover the ball, they get the benefit of having the ball on the touchback?
I don't think the rule is dumb at all. To be in that instance, you've obviously made a play. Right? Unless the offense just throws it out of the back of the end zone, right? But Sorensen, just as much as the offense should be rewarded for what they're doing, Sorensen should be rewarded for getting over and making that play. Somebody that blocks a punt should be, you know, they get rewarded with a safety if it goes out the back of the end zone.
So
I've got no problem with that.
So why do we have an alternate set of rules? If that is on the 20-yard line and you fumble out of bounds, you know you don't lose the ball. Why should we have an alternate set of rules then with the goal line?
Because I didn't write the rules. I follow the rules that are laid out there. In the structure of the game, to me, that's the game, okay? So whoever created the game said, this is what we're doing with this. That's good by me. And now you have the powers that be can go change that. If they don't like it, go to the rules committee to get it changed. But right now, that's the rule. So that's how you play it.
Well, I'm okay with the rule yesterday because it benefited my team, but I've always hated that rule because the defensive team's getting rewarded for doing what? The offensive person was trying to make a play, and they fumbled the football. Any other part of the field, you know what happens. But in the end zone, it goes out of the end zone, it's a touchback, and the defensive team, which did not make a play, they get rewarded, and it's a game-changing play. And it was a little bit of a swing yesterday. I've always hated the rule, but I know that the NFL loves those plays, and I don't see them changing it. And we're going to complain about this forever.
But for the ball to be fumbled out of the end zone, you're either dumb, and you're doing something you shouldn't, and you fumble it, so you shouldn't get rewarded for stupid. And in this instance, Sorensen made a good play.
So
why can't he be rewarded for that? prevented the ball from being extended in the end zone. Why can't he get rewarded for that?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, now I'm arguing against my own team here, but here's my change to it. Then, you know what? Give the ball back to the offensive team and put it back at the 20 or the 25, wherever you decide to do that, instead of making it a touchback. I just don't like how we have alternate set of rules on certain parts of the field.
You should argue to the point of the fumble. The defense gets it at the point of the fumble. So Casey would have it at the one.
Or in this case, right? In this case, it would be in the end zone, so it would be the touchback. But you could.
The fumble actually happened though at the one. The ball trickled out, to just the corner of the end zone.
Well, I think it's a terrible rule. I've hated the rule. I think it penalizes the team that's trying to make a play, and it doesn't. The defense gets rewarded. But in the case last night, I'm not going to go all the way in on arguing it because it actually benefited Kansas City and it hurt Cleveland. All right, initial thought.
But I try to make money every day, right? if I'm an a-hole or if I, you know, do something stupid, then I don't get to try to make money. Like, that's just because I try hard doesn't mean I get a reward. Like, there's no participation ribbon. Yeah, you extended. Hey, you made a choice to extend your arm out, knowing you put the ball in jeopardy, the most valuable thing on the field. And then that's currently the way the rules are written. That's what you get out of it. You get a touchback.
All right. The rules are written when it's 4th and 1. What did you think the Kansas City was going to do on 4th and 1 last night?
Well, when Andy Reid pulled out the wheelbarrow, I was like, well, here we go.
I mean, you know, there's the...
You can go Bill Rafferty onions, you can go set of stones, you can go marbles, but that dude knows that their offense, with the speed they have, can put you in a no-win position. Now all you get it to is, can my guy execute? And he obviously trusted Haney to do that, or Henny, and... Every Kansas City fan everywhere, every Kansas City fan in the history of Kansas City fans missed the greatest opportunity for a viral tweet ever. Blame it on the vodka. Blame it on the Henny. And you're going viral.
Dang.
And they didn't do it.
Dang.
And if I didn't hate Kansas City so much, I would have done it. But I'm a Bears fan, and I don't support other people.
How about...
No, he trusts his guys, man. And for what they do on the field, you have to trust them. Like, they're a well-oiled machine.
I think another subtle part is the body language of Henny on that play. Because he gave you the sense as he was standing there in the shotgun that they were going to let the clock roll all the way down. And you know that the Browns defenders up front were staring at him, thinking they're going to do the same exact thing. They're going to run it all the way down, and then they'll call a timeout. And his he sold that with the body language.
And they practiced that.
Yep.
Because the linemen were still all coiled up, ready to go. He was back there doing his thing. Yeah, it was. They may be playing chess, and everybody else is playing checkers. I mean, they knew what they wanted to do right there. The other part of it to me is Andy Reid's confidence in that. He didn't hesitate. He knew what he was going to do after they came up just a little bit short. Like, there was no wind the clock down, late signal in, scramble around. Like, he's like, yeah, we're going. We're doing that right now.
Well, he has faith in his play call, his faith in the two guys that we're going to have to execute, or the 11 as a whole we're going to execute it. He's been ultra-aggressive. And here's the other thing. Chad Henne's a pro. He's in the NFL for a reason. Now, you've got a superstar that he plays behind, but he's in the NFL for a reason. And it would be unfair to your team if all of a sudden you shelved everything that you've worked towards just because you have a backup in there, and he did not, and as a result, Kansas City survives and they get to play next week.
But we talk, right? We talk culture on everything. Culture, 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 culture. Well, Kansas City's culture is, we don't care who's in there. You're running the offense. You think when Andy Reid woke up that morning, he said, hey, I'm going to run Chad Henne on a speed option on 3rd and 13. And end up a yard short? No. But he said, you know what? We've prepared our team for this. Because guess what? None of the 5 linemen up front are out. None of the running backs are out. None of the receivers are out. We just got a different guy pulling the trigger.
And
we trust what we do. We've got a culture that leads to that. And that's, you get a first down, you win, you get to move on.
And he said after the game, he was asked about the play call. And he said, every Saturday night before games, we go to every quarterback and we go through the different scenarios. And we say, okay, it's 4th and 1 and we need to ice the game. What play call do you want? Mm-hmm. And that's the play call that they went with. Hey, let's shift to Nebraska football here quickly. I know you're a busy man on this Monday. We always appreciate your time. How would you sum up last week for Nebraska in terms of the guys coming in, the guys departing, and a special teams analyst departing? How would you describe last week in Nebraska football news dumps?
I've never read the book, but I know the quote from it because I think it's the first line of the book. But it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. Like whoever penned that phrase to start a book, so all you nerds out there can tell me who that was via Twitter. It's where we are. It's what we do. You know, I'm happy that they had the discussion and said, hey, our special teams aren't where they should be. We need to excel at this and not, you know, kind of be an afterthought with this. And it's unfortunate for the Rutledge kid that he was the fall guy, mm-hmm. and he went away. With players transitioning out and leaving, it still shows me that there's some things in there that everybody isn't 100% on that same page. You know, when you have people come up, you have a discussion, and you end that discussion, and the people don't like where your discussion went, and they decide to leave, mm-hmm. which is their right. They can do that. You know, that's fine. I'm not upset anybody left, because everybody now is in a phase where they're going to do what's best for them until Nebraska gets to a sustainable level of success where they're like, okay, it isn't ideal, but I know kind of the vision, and I know where we're headed, and I can still stay here and help and contribute, and maybe I can work on the inside to change these things. So it's good on that aspect that you are now going to, you know, hopefully move somebody with glasses to a consultant role and then actually hire somebody that's like legit. This special team is my gig. It's my jam. This is what I do. Mm-hmm. And you go from there.
How did
I think there's still more that are going to transfer out. So just
yep.
Everybody prepare yourself for that.
Well, and guys have returned this weekend, so I'm sure we'll find out more. Help me here. This became a discussion as, you know, Nebraska very rarely has had a full-time special teams coach. They've either been shared amongst the staff, or in this case, Jonathan Rutledge is here for a year as a $150,000 analyst who is not on the field with those guys. How did the whole Dan Young dynamic work when it came to special teams?
Well, the great part of the way special teams was handled back then, Coach Young was in charge of the kicking phase of the game. So he was in charge of your foot meeting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he worked, they charted kicks and punts and all that kind of stuff. That was his gig. Okay. Then every coach had their own realm of the special teams, which they took great pride in. And if their unit did not perform, they took that personal, and they then changed that unit and made that. Now, the thing that I always loved about it was that nobody was safe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Grant Wistrom, Jared Thomas, you're great defensive ends. Guess what? You're on punt team. You're going to protect, you're going to go cover, and then you're going to tackle, and then you're going to play defense. Okay, coach, sounds great. Because it wasn't a spot where, hey, this is where we could get a guy in to get him a letter. It was like, we're putting our best out here.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're not losing this phase of the game. We have a wagon on offense. We have a wagon on defense. And guess what? We're going to have a wagon on special teams. Like, I preach this a lot. Darren Erstad does not get enough credit in the 94 Orange Bowl for winning that game. Because he pinned Miami whenever he wanted to. There, if you go back and look at it, I mean, they started a lot of drives inside their own 20.
Mm-hmm.
And he did he will never, the most competitive person I've ever met. Apologies to everybody else I know. No one is more competitive than Darren Erstad. And save me the baseball coaching tweet. Okay? But that guy took great pride in that. And when Coach Young would chart their punts in practice, if he didn't win, he would get pissed. And he wanted to win that phase because Coach Young would take shots at him. And they would then, in turn, you know, that everything had a methodology, everything had a psychology, and everything had a reason. But each coach taking pride in that. And I don't think the media was relentless enough when special teams were bad. Because you can find out who controls what era or what area.
Yeah.
And say, hey, kickoff coach, your guys are bad, but you guys aren't good at this. Bam, 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 bam. It's okay to have your feet held to the fire. It's good for you.
How big of a deal was it for players, or is it for players, when the head coach has a vested interest in special teams and is around in meetings and discussions on who is on what unit?
I think it's invaluable. I think we would go from the bottom of the country to the top of the or to the top 20 or 30 very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have enough guys to me that are at those skill positions that can fill in on that. You got a lot of safeties and a lot of corners and a lot of, you know, not linebackers, but you got a lot of extra running backs. And those guys on those teams and your head coach as the dude, if you think somebody's going to want to make a mistake and miss a block or be lazy on a coverage with your head coach as the guy, because when you go into your meeting, it isn't a position coach. Like, you may be a receiver or a defensive back and the offensive line coach is in charge of punt teams. Well, okay, offensive line coach, calm down. You've never covered a punt. You don't know what this is like. Well, now you got your head coach there, and he's done it at the NFL level. And now you're going to have to explain to him, hey, I'm real sorry I kind of half-assed jogged down the field on that one. How long do you think that's going to last? not very. You're going to get comfy on that old metal bench there on the side or whatever hard plastic heated seat they sit on now. But I think it would be great. I think it would be revitalizing to the head coach himself because it's something different.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done it before, but it gives him kind of a new flair, new bravado, new something, right? And it's going to be a sign of maturity for him to say, okay, Lubick, this is yours. You go run my office. I'm going to have input. I want to know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you to do that. I trust Chin to call the defense. I'm going to trust you to do this. Now I'm going to go get our special team. Because that's a lot of coaching, right? You assess an area you're deficient in, and then you go fix it. And if that means that you got to be the guy that fixes it, then you go fix it. You may get over there, and you may find you loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I can change the momentum of a game. I can fake something. I can block something. I can get a reverse on a return. I can do something to just get the crowd jazzed, the players pumped up. I can really influence the game in this phase. And I think that would be a cool thing.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm sure it'll be another busy week. Verz, as always, I appreciate the insight. Thank you, my man.
Hey, when you put that out there, okay, blame it on the vodka, blame it on the Henny. You just make sure you CC me.
I will do that. I will do
Give
that.
Give me some credit when it goes viral.
I will do that, and then we will share the love. Thank you. That's so mad, Verzal. Yeah, I think I was probably. That is good. That is good. There's college football news, coaching news that we will get into when we come back in the next hour. Mike Schaefer will join us. We'll talk some early enrollees. And you know, when Chafe was on last week, we were talking about Wandale Robinson. How soon after we got off the air would he let everybody know that he was leaving Nebraska? And then a flurry of information happened. So we got lots to discuss with Chafe. Mark Manning, Nebraska wrestling coach, coming up at 12:30. More thoughts on the four yesterday and now ahead to the two, where there are some great storylines. I think of the four teams, the most comfortable I feel with getting into the Super Bowl off this upcoming weekend is your team, George Green Bay. Huh? We'll get into that as we roll till 2 on a Football Monday on 1620 The Zone.